Mini episode 899 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 899 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with another in our line of TV reviews. This is the latest in a series of reviews of critically acclaimed television shows that have completed their run and are available for streaming on either Hulu, Netflix, or Amazon Prime. We will not include spoilers in any of these reviews. The idea is to provide a sense of what you can expect if you decide to view the shows, and as such, we don't want to undermine that experience. Today we're breaking down Deadwood, a serialized drama that aired from 2004 to 2006 on HBO, and can be found in its entirety on HBO Go and whichever other streaming services carry that. Here are the five most notable elements of this franchise. Number 5. The central figure is a charming rogue who experiences something of a transformation, Al Swearengen, owner of the Gem Saloon and Whorehouse. Sheriff Seth Bullock is an important character as well, but he exists in his most interesting form as a foil for Swearengen, an adversary in the beginning and later an ally, as the gem proprietor's interests align with the forces of civilization. For most of Season 1, Swearengen is the big bad, a ruthless figure bent on exploiting the Deadwood camp for all of the money and control that he can acquire. But by Season 2, it's clear that he is less of a menace than competitor Cy Tolliver of the Bella Union Saloon, and his evil is dwarfed completely by tycoon George Hurst, who launches an all-out assault to dominate the community's assets. It's interesting that Al never undergoes what might be termed in pro wrestling a face turn. He simply acts in accord with his perceived interests at all times, and as time passes and the outside world takes an increased interest in Deadwood, he realizes that embracing his status as a community leader is of great benefit. Whether the matter at hand is dealing with a smallpox outbreak, accepting the terms and benefits of joining the Dakota Territory, or building a coalition to fight Hurst, Swearengen doesn't morph into a goody-goody even as his fights reach a loftier plane. Rather, he retains his ruthlessness even as he deploys it in areas of wider benefit. At the same time, those perceived to be under his thumb slowly reveal different sides of him, indicating that there are tangible qualities about him that draw not simply their obedience, but also their loyalty. In terms of TV anti-heroes, he's much closer to Tony Soprano than Raylan Givens, but the exploration of his different sides and the disparate ways that he reacts to circumstances make him somebody who commands your attention at all times. Number 4. There is a strong casting crossover with this show and Justified, and the most intriguing part centers around the gifted Timothy Oliphant. It's a popular parlor game to find points of comparison between Deputy Marshal Raylan Givens and Sheriff Seth Bullock, and there certainly are some. Both have strong moral centers, but are frequently stubborn and self-righteous. But Bullock finds himself a bit more bound by the demands of propriety and the law than Raylan. This is partially due to being set in an earlier time, and partially due to being thrust to the forefront of responsibility when he is called upon to assume the very duties in Deadwood that he thought he was leaving behind in Montana. Once Wild Bill Hickok quickly meets his untimely demise in camp, Bullock and the massively decent Charlie Utter, played by the awesome Dayton Colley, find themselves obligated to fill a lawful void in a lawless environment. With Bullock not having a boss to defer to like Raylan always did, he also doesn't have the security of knowing that somebody else would pick up the slack if he screws up, so the stakes are higher. Number 3. The language is very rough and very anachronistic. As you would imagine with a predominantly male population in a frontier community, the means of expression is often crude. But the show creators, in trying to keep the phrasing relatable, opted to substitute in modern F-bombs, S-bombs, and the like in place of 1870s swearing, which they feared would prove distracting. Of course, it all depends on your perspective. To many people, hearing these words in that historical setting may prove distracting. But for most people, it's probably not a deal breaker either way. But if you hate vulgar language and lots of it, this is certainly not the program for you. Number two, Deadwood's transformation over the course of the series from largely lawless outpost to community on the brink of achieving civilization is quite profound. When you compare the somewhat hard-to-follow pilot, which traces several individual journeys to Deadwood, to the series finale, which is a taut, gripping thriller about matters of concern to everyone in camp, the extent to which these free spirits, rugged individualists and outlaws, have fused their interests together becomes extraordinary to contemplate. To an extent, Al Swearengen's journey serves as a microcosm for the collective progression, portraying the fitful path to true interdependence for individuals and groups alike. At the same time, there's a fair amount of pessimism about humanity's ability to collectively thwart the worst impulses of the rich and powerful in the vision of show creator David Milch. The season 3 arc with George Hurst trying to bend the entire camp to his will aired in 2006, and as such was a thinly veiled Iraq War allegory. But perhaps the better point is that although mankind does keep encountering oppression of various sorts through the course of history, the struggles for freedom and justice are likewise timeless. Witness the presence in camp of Samuel Fields, a black man treated fairly well with few exceptions, a mere decade after the end of the Civil War. Number one, the casting and character work is absolutely top-notch. As a drama based on actual American history, many fascinating people are represented in this cast, from unctuous hotel owner E.B. Farnham, to the heroic but erratic Calamity Jane, to the oddly decent and respectable whoremonger Sol Starr, to the supremely entertaining Con Stapleton. And Milch took that foundation to the next level by adding several more memorable characters to the mix, such as the alluring hot mess Alma Garrett, gruff but respectful Doc Cochran, conniving Yankton Commissioner Hugo Jerry, and two surprisingly consequential prostitutes, Trixie and Joni. An all-star cast animates these and other members of the Deadwood community, achieving impressive parity with the stellar writing and direction. Regrettably, the deteriorating relationship between Milch and HBO forced a more abrupt than desired completion to the series, with the real-life fire that swept through town and burned the original gem to the ground not even being reached in the show's chronology. As such, the desire for a reunion movie has remained fervent among the fan base, even as the rising career arcs of all of the key players make synchronizing their schedules almost impossible. The summer of 2017 saw renewed rumors on the subject, so maybe there's still hope. But for now, be forewarned. If you set out to traverse the wild, primitive world of Deadwood, you may well be left wanting more when it's all said and done. But then again, that would probably result from having greatly enjoyed the three seasons that did exist, so the time spent building the yearning for more content would be well spent indeed. Thank you for tuning into this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.